Let us read again the text for the sermon as we find it in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Congregation, this morning, I want you to draw your attention to a big harbor. Think about one of the biggest harbors in this world and imagine there yourself standing in front of a big ship. And as you look at the ship, you see that there's several compartments on the ship. Compartments for containers and other cargo. This morning, I want you to climb the bridge of that ship, thinking and being aware that you yourself are the very captain of this ship. A captain, as you know, is responsible for the load of the ship. He has to oversee the containers that enter the ship, and then he is responsible for each one of them till he arrives in the next harbor. Is it not true that this is true about our lives? That we are responsible of ourselves? And we find actually the word, this illustration in verse 5, as we will see it later in the sermon, where it says in verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And the word for burden there is in Greek, actually fortion, which means portion. It refers to the cargo of a ship. So we find this very illustration this morning in our text reflected behind this word burden in verse 5. Each one of you has an assigned cargo, an assigned load. But the question is, what does it mean then to take care for myself and for other people? How can I understand when to bear a burden? Verse 2 or verse 5, my own load. There's namely a difference, as we will see this morning, between those two words. In verse 2, the burden that we carry along with other people, and also our own burden, which is translated in the New King James with load. So the question is, what is your responsibility and where does your responsibility stop? In other words, what are the boundaries that are provided here in the text this morning? Our theme, therefore, with God's help, is know your boundaries. And the first point is, what we will see is a fallen sinner, as we find a case study in verse 1. We will secondly see a burden removed in verse 2 especially, and in verse 4 and 5, a load carried. But first of all, something about the background of the letter to Galatians. Paul had a profound awareness of boundaries. He took his responsibility for the churches in Galatia when he was there in their midst. And while he was there in their midst, he faced already opposition. And I want you to imagine these people there under his hearing. They were vulnerable, young believers. And Paul faced already during his time there opposition. And when he left, it went even worse. Judaizers entered the congregation and they began to teach that the new believers did not only have to believe in Christ, but also had to keep the ceremonial law. Faith in Christ plus works. Faith in Christ plus something of ourselves. Paul deals hard with them. He calls them somewhere else dogs. And Paul is really concerned about the Galatians, that they would have a proper view of the gospel. That's why he says, I wonder, in chapter 1, verse 6, I wonder why you are so soon turning to another gospel. And in chapter 3, verse 1, who has bewitched you? So this is what Paul does. He corrects and he restores. He restores even Peter in chapter 2. He reproved Peter, but in such a way that Peter could say later in 2 Peter 3 verse 15, Paul, my beloved brother. So Paul restored Peter in his erring in a matter of meekness and love. And he continues to do so now in chapter 3 and 4 by restoring the doctrine of justification. And then in chapter 5 and 6 he focuses on the practical walk of the Galatians. But now he makes it very practical. In our ways of speaking, it's where the rubber hits the floor. It's the place where Christians apply what they just learned. And therefore our reading began today in chapter 5 verse 22. With the fruits of the Spirit. Paul had just called the Galatians to walk in the freedom, not of their own lusts, but in the freedom of the Spirit. And that's why in verse 22 we find Paul addressing these fruits of the Spirit. Love, meek, patience. But it is directly after this list of fruits that Paul dives into the most practical reality of accountability. As we can read in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. It is as if Paul is saying, do you want to examine yourself whether you are living according to the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, as he just explained before? Do you really want to know, Christian, if you are living as a true Christian and not as a Pharisaistic legalist? Here is an example. How do you deal with people who struggle with sin around you? Brethren, if someone is overtaken in a fault, the word here means someone who is detected in an error. If you who are spiritual, as he says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If you are a spiritual person, that means if you are someone here this morning, born again, then you have a responsibility towards other people who struggle with sin. Someone was overtaken by a fault. Caught by surprise. It can refer to someone who is surprisingly ended up in sin. But it can also refer to someone who on purpose committed a sin and transgressed God's law. And both should be in view this morning. Transgression, meaning God has given these boundaries and we should not cross them. But then, when someone crosses these boundaries, either intentionally or unintentionally, you have a responsibility, especially for those close around you. But we see a big requirement here this morning. The requirement is you, who are spiritual, living by the Spirit. My question is, are you living by the Spirit? Are you a born-again Christian? What about your soul this morning? Do you have these fruits of love, meekness, patience, long-suffering? Do you recognize any of them? It's important to know your identity. Because if you have impact in someone's life and you're correcting someone, but you are not born again, what you will do is you will sow something in that life of the person that will have a negative influence. Eternal consequences. Yes, it's true this morning that a proper sense of boundaries is important to live in the light of eternity. We need to be aware of ourselves, our state, but also about boundaries. And yes, it's true. We have boundaries in many ways. We listen to God's word this morning, to the Ten Commandments. We have boundaries on the highway and speed limits. But what about invisible boundaries? Surely, and especially in the Netherlands, you would never go to your neighbor's garden and take a look at the garden and say, I do not like his garden, you know, I put something else in there. That would be strange if you cross the boundary of your neighbor and you change his garden. You put stuff in there, you remove things that he put there. That would be foolishness. But that's something visible. What about invisible boundaries this morning? What about someone secretly living in sin around you? Paul is paying attention to this as well. And how hard it is to detect someone caught in sin. How was it for the disciples to live with Judas among them? Judas began with a love for money, and that love for money kept growing till suddenly he deviated from the way, and like driving on the highway, he ended up on the exit to be never able to turn back again. Sin is serious. If someone around you is not aware, you are not the spectator. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. This word here for restoring means restoring to previous position. Restoring is used for the mending of nets. Or as Matthew Henry explains, as he points out to another case in Scripture, to put back a dislocated bone into the right position. To put back, to restore to previous usefulness. This is important. This is our responsibility this morning, as it comes to us from God's Word, that we, with wisdom, help one another to live according to God's boundaries. And our choice has consequences. Someone said, it takes a great deal of love and courage for us to approach an erring brother and seek to help him. Jesus compares it with an eye surgery. And how many of us feel qualified for that? An eye surgery. Removing something from someone's eyes. Yes, indeed. Now we find out why Paul stresses the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of meekness. This tells us how we should help one another. In the spirit of meekness, we should be very careful, lovingly, when we reach out to people around us. And this begins in the family, of course. When our children are caught in sin, how do we correct them? With anger? As a policeman? Or do we correct them as evangelists, as ambassadors of God's truth? In the spirit of meekness. If you are living by the Spirit has given you everything, Christian, here this morning, to help other people. He has given you the spirit of meekness, which stands for all these fruits mentioned in the preceding chapter. But here is something that we should pay attention to. In verse 2, ye which are spiritual, or end of verse 1. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So while you are reaching out to other people, you need to be aware of yourself, of your emotions, of your motivation. Because if your motivation is not to restore someone, you will be like these Pharisees, like these Judaizers who were criticizing Christ and the people around them. And instead of helping them, they were adding burdens, as Christ mentioned. They were adding burdens to other people's lives. Considering yourself. This is a continuing idea. We should always consider ourselves. Are we living in the spirit of meekness? I find it very hard when I look at the application of these things. Because these are referred to as the passive graces. You cannot work meekness yourself. You cannot create meekness. You cannot create love. No, this is something we can only receive by abiding in the vine. This is something we can only receive by abiding in Christ, by walking closely to Him, by filling ourselves with His fruits in the morning. Considering yourself. Here's a warning for some of you. Some of you are sitting here, and maybe you have a place of authority in your life. And what you're doing often is maybe that you are correcting other people while you think yourself to be someone, while you think yourself to be better. If that's the case, then you will not help the other person. You will not restore. You will only make it worse. Are you a boundary keeper or a boundary crosser? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's such a temptation. And it's already in the word of sin. To sin means to fall. So here's someone who has fallen. But there was clearly a reason why this person fell on the ground. But if you come close, it's like slippery ground. It's like standing on ice. If you try to restore someone, you need to be careful that you yourself will not fall as well. How much do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? Often we neglect the importance of the Holy Spirit. We emphasize it for conversion, but what about the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification? Is there something that we can do in our own strength? Well, we have spent time now in the first point, a fallen sinner, and we have touched already on the burden removed, but I want you to understand now what this exactly means. Why does Paul refer to bearing one another's burdens and someone's own burden, his own load? And why are these two related? It's my aim this morning that you would understand them both in separation, what is meant in verse 2 and what is meant in verse 5, and how they relate together. Bear one another's burdens. It must be clear that this is a commandment of the Lord in verse 2. But notice that there's a second commandment related with it. Bear one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. Well, these burdens are clearly not something similar as the cargo of a ship. These burdens refer to verse 1, where someone is caught in sin, but it is a more general principle. It's a principle we find throughout the New Testament as well. Burdens are those hardships that we encounter when we take responsibility for our load, but suddenly, through circumstances, that load becomes excessive. Henry Cloud, who wrote a book on boundaries, which really helped me in the preparation, explains it as our loads are our knapsacks, but a burden is like a boulder. It's like excessive weight. It's like something that you cannot carry yourself. Someone here in church who is struggling should not carry that weight yourself, but should be supported by other members of the body. Bear one another's burdens means, therefore, carry, come alongside and support, lift together with the other person that burden. It doesn't say, Paul doesn't say, take over someone's burden. If you see someone suffering, you don't take over the burden. No, you come alongside. Is that not true about how the Lord Jesus Christ comes alongside with us when he carries the yoke and we are allowed to walk with him? It's never the yoke of ourselves. It's a yoke that Christ allows us to carry with him. So what should we do? We should bear. We should come alongside. And then by doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. We obey the law of Christ. We do what Christ wants us to do. And I want you to see, as I saw it this morning, when I was reading to Matthew Henry on this passage, and he refers to this law of Christ as being that law of Christ which is different than all these laws of the Judaizers. They added many rules to the newborn Christians. But the law of Christ is different. The law of Christ is a law of love. If you really love someone, you speak the truth to that person. But it does not only refer to our spiritual problems, it also refers to everything in life. Is there someone around you who is struggling? Maybe you entered the church and you looked at someone and you saw just the face of the person being discouraged, burdened by difficulties in family, at work. Instead of just asking, how are you doing? Maybe a question could be, how can I pray for you? How can I be a blessing to you? Is there anything I can help you with? We should be burden bearers. And also, secondly, we should bear our own burdens. I want you to see what it is. Our own burdens are those things that we are responsible for. That's why I refer to the captain on the ship this, at the very beginning of the sermon. In verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. You are responsible for people around you, but you are also responsible for yourself. And I told you already that when you reach out to other people, you need to consider yourself continually whether you have the right attitude and the right purpose to restore and not to demolish, to be humble, to be carrying along. But verse 5 addresses your own load. And this is something that you have to carry. This is something that no one else can. And I will later spend in the third point some attention to verse 3 and 4, because verse 3 and 4 call us to self-examination. They call us to not think of ourselves to be someone. They call us to prove ourselves, our own work, our own task. But what about this daily load we have? What does it mean? I mentioned that this is used in Acts already for the cargo of a ship. You need to carry your own knapsack, your own load. You are responsible in various ways in your lives. We need God's help continually when we examine ourselves. Oh Lord, show me what my responsibility is in this week. I'm father, I'm husband, I have a job, I have maybe a duty here in the church. How can you divide your time wisely? If you are a mom And you have various responsibilities. Your children, taking care in the household, many variety of things. You need to know what your responsibility is. But it must be clear that we need to carry our own load, but occasionally need to help others around us by carrying along their burdens. So before entering in the practical application of how this looks like, we will sing Psalter 203, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The theme this morning is Know Your Boundaries, and we have considered the situation of a fallen sinner in verse 1, and in verse 2, the importance of restoring, removing burdens by coming alongside other people in carrying their excessive load till the situation has been restored. We've also learned, thirdly, that we are to carry our own load. And in many ways, as I looked on this passage and analyzing it, I saw clearly the didactical structure of Paul. It is as if he is defining his terms and applying it to the people's attitude. He shows them that the way how they restore other people has to do with their own understanding of who they are, if they are spiritual, if they are meek, because if you are not meek, you will help other people with a spirit of arrogancy, of pride. And pride kills. Pride demolishes. So we have seen these, the differences between the burden and the loads. And you will find me repeating now, going through these responsibilities again in the light of verse 1 through 5. And we will ask the question for both of the burdens. The burdens, the heavy loads, and the loads that we have to carry ourselves. We ask three questions. What am I now supposed to do? how and when. Because I'm convinced from Scripture, and especially in verse 8, where we find that what we sow we will reap, that it will have eternal impact, whether we have a healthy understanding of boundaries. So first, when we come to helping others, we are summarizing it now and applying it to our own lives. What are we supposed to do? We are to restore other people by helping them, coming alongside when someone has a hardship. Well, you pay attention to your own ship, you come alongside someone else, and you help the person. This implies, therefore, for us as Calvinists, that we also should be willing to receive help. Sometimes I find it hard myself to receive help. When I find that I'm struggling, when my boat is sinking, I find it hard to accept help. But this passage clearly indicates that when we have, if it's true that we have to come alongside other people, that those people should be willing to accept help. Are you someone who is weak, who recognizes your weakness and your need for help? If someone asks you, how are you doing? How can I help you? Do you easily say, no, thank you, I'm fine? While pushing back on the background something that you're really struggling with? You're called this morning to open up and to be honest and say, yeah, if you can help me, you can help me by praying for this. Please pray for my work this week. I'm struggling. I have to make changes that impact my family life. Please pray that I would have wisdom to say no. Are you someone who is able to say no when you have to? Receiving help is an implication of this command here in Scripture, that you are someone who is willing to receive. Cloud warns you if you don't. Boulders, referring to these heavy burdens, they can crush you. We shouldn't be expected to carry a boulder by ourselves. It will break our backs. We need help with the boulders, those times of crisis and tragedy in our lives. But when? When do you have to come alongside someone else? Scripture dictates this here very clearly. If someone is overtaken in a fault, meaning if the situation occurs, you, if you are a Christian, you are responsible. But the question is, how does that work out? How does it work out? When do I need to let other people to be heard in order to learn their boundaries? Well, maybe the following illustration may be of any help. Imagine that you are working at a company, and it's your colleague's duty to put a trash can at the street every Friday afternoon. But you have to promise, you made the promise to your wife, and you said, Friday afternoon, I will work till 5 p.m., but I will be at home at 5. I will work till 4:45, I will be at home at 5, so you can have the food ready at 5 p.m. But you are suspicious of your colleague because he has not a sense of boundaries. Every time when he has a difficult task, he pushes on his task to the next one instead of taking responsibility for his own task. And you work hard, and suddenly it is 4:45. You look outside and you see that there is no trash can at the street. No trash can at the street side. What should you do when you look at this scripture passage? If you take the choice to help your colleague by preventing him to feel ashamed, you can go outside and you can do it for him. But you have already done it a few times. So, what should you do? If you choose to fix his problem, you will come home too late, and your wife will be sad because the food is getting cold. And you know what happens? If you continually take over the loads of someone else, you see that the person is not learning at all. He continues, or she continues, to push away her responsibilities. Well, you feel bad, and you are neglecting, not able to manage your own. What are you called to do? We will return to this later. But it's a real question. You have many situations in life in which you have to make the choice. Is this my responsibility? It's like God has given you time in the light of eternity, which is precious. Time that you spend on your work in the evenings instead of being with your children has impact on the eternity, eternal state of your children. If you are not managing your ship well, and you're spending too much energy and too much time to one compartment, other compartments will suffer. Is it not true that some of us, we find our work so important that we keep working in the evening, while our wife spends the evening in loneliness, not being able to tell her struggles and to pray with you, while your children are neglected and live in the light of eternity and suddenly depart from the faith? What about your boat? What about your responsibility? You have to say no at certain times. We have to consider our own loads. You have to know your own boat well. A ship out of balance is dangerous. But still the command is there. We have asked the question, what are we supposed to do? To restore people, to restore burdens. When? Well, if the situation occurs, and if it's not inside their responsibility, how? In the spirit of meekness. But I mentioned that verse 3, 4 are so important to consider. It's like Paul is weaving everything together. Fulfill the law of Christ. Don't think yourself to be something when you are nothing. Then you deceive yourself, verse 3. Let every man prove his own work, referring to the daily load, the daily task. Prove your own work. Examine yourself this morning. Maybe it's time today to come home and to write down your responsibilities and the time you spend in each one of them. Or maybe you log this week. You take a paper with you and you write down how much time you spend for each responsibility you have. And then you take it to God in prayer and say, God, is this right? Am I taking responsibility for the right task? Are you living for the right roles? I remember that Tim Charles has a book, a yellow book called Do Much More Better, in which he explains or helps us how we can lay out our different roles in life and how we can take responsibility for it. So you have the role of being someone who lives as child of God. If that's the case, you ought to spend time with Him. The best time of your life. The morning or in the best moment of the day. If you are married, you have responsibility to spend time with your spouse or husband, to live together, to study together, to pray together. If you're a father or mother, you have responsibility to spend time with them. You have responsibility for the church, for your work. We are called to examine our responsibilities this morning, especially in this season when the school just has started again and many tasks are in front of you. When do you say yes to something? And when do you say no? Well, let's consider therefore the second category, our own loads, and we will ask the three questions again when it comes to verse 5, the load in verse 5. What am I supposed to do? When and how? Well, the text says, we are, for every man shall bear his own burden. Every person shall bear his own load. And this is referring, of course, to this next harbor. It's in a future tense. It's referring to you will carry your load. And you will have to give account of everything you have done in your life. May you appear for the judgment throne of God. Imagine yourself this morning. If God would call you today in His presence, how would your boat look like? If God looks at our lives right now, what does He see? Do you spend time in the right proportions? Are you a reactive Christian or a proactive Christian? Are you reacting to the demands of people around you? Or are you proactive, seeking God's will every morning? God, what wilt thou have me to do today? What is on thy agenda? One day, each one of us will be accountable for God in heaven on the judgment day. That's why Paul says in verse 7, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he also will reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Are you sowing death or life? Well, the question, what are you to do? You are to carry now your load every day. Always. Considering yourself always. Sometimes you can have the idea when sitting in church, you think about, oh, this application, that's something for him or for her, but this is about each one of you. Each man shall carry his own load. But when? Always indeed. Always. Till God calls you into His presence. And I mentioned this morning that if ye are spiritual, since you are spiritual, since you are born again, help other people, restore them in a spirit of meekness. But what if you are sitting here this morning and you know nothing of the spirit of meekness? May I call you today to the great burden bearer, Christ Jesus. He took the heavy millstone. He took the heavy millstone that was caused by our transgressions, caused by our boundary crossing continually. He took that heavy millstone to be drowned in the depth of the sea, to die at the cross of Calvary in our stead because of our neglecting of boundaries. We have transgressed God's law. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by our actions. We deserve that heavy millstone. We deserve to be crushed. But He, Christ, offered Himself to be slain. He offered Himself to die on our behalf. Christ has offered to you, sinner, this morning here, even though the passage does not explicitly teach us, show us the gospel, it is there in the law of Christ, it is there in the fruits of the Spirit. Because out of ourselves we will never be able to bring forth any fruit, but with Christ everything is possible. The question is, how then? You've seen we have to carry our own load. Secondly, when? Always. Thirdly, how then? How can you then take responsibility for your own boat? Well, the call is first to examine yourself, as I mentioned, to know your boundaries. But let's return to the trash can story. When you take over the load of your colleague, you suffer and he does not. You feel terrible, he not. You feel responsible, he not. You feel frustrated, he not. And he learns nothing. So from this place, it's perfectly biblical sometimes to allow other people to be hurt, to hurt, in order to learn their boundaries. It would be biblical to go home without putting that trash can at the street side, so that the next week, your colleague arrives at work and all the other people at the company see too that he neglected his duty. I'm sure that he will learn his lesson. Now, many people, even in our midst, and I struggle with it too, who never learn these boundaries. We cross someone's boundaries in conversations while not listening to the other person, while thinking about our own thoughts the whole time. We put something in someone else's garden without the person's permission. We should be sensitive, meek, loving when it comes to boundaries. And what a joy comes when someone knows his own work. Look at verse 4. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Do you see the joy that comes when someone lives within boundaries? It's the joy of living for God's glory and obedience to Him. It's the joy that you little children, if you do something right for your parents, and your parents, your father, your mother tells you and says, well done, you've done a great job, this is what you're supposed to do. Does that not give you a smile? Does it not make you happy? What a joy it gives when we live in the light of God's countenance, taking responsibility for our ships, though knowing that we will not be able to do this all in our own strength, but by Christ who strengthens us. But still, when we look at Christ, we see something remarkable. As we read in John 19, and he, verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Jesus took his load, his daily task, doing the will of his Father. He had a profound sense of boundaries. Already when he was 12 years old, he allowed his mother to have hurtful feelings in order to do what he had to do. Did you not know that I had to be in the house of my Father? He allowed his parents to seek for a few days because he took responsibility in his task. And even when Peter came to him with the idea that Christ should not suffer and die, Christ had a profound sense of boundaries. Go away from me because you think the things of Satan. But then, in Gethsemane, Christ's load became excessive and more excessive. It crushed him. There was no one to help him, no one to come alongside him. He would suffer, he would be crushed under this heavy boulder of our sins. Christ will die under the wrath of God, so that we would not have to carry heavy boulders that crush us till eternal death. What a Savior. Should Christ's law of love be too hard for us? Should there not be a desire in us? Lord, help me to understand my responsibility. Make me aware of my attitude. Slay the dragon of my pride. Change my heart. Empower me by thy Holy Spirit to fulfill thy law. May God help us to say yes when we have to say yes, to say no when we have to say no, in knowing our boundaries. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. O great burden bearer of thy people, we come to thee and we are confronted with reality that we are more boundary crossers than boundary keepers, that we often neglect other people's property, their emotional property, their spiritual property. Give us insight, O God, that we would indeed live according to thy Spirit, controlled by thy Spirit. We praise thee that thou, O Lord Jesus, came down and already from the beginning thou suffered and under the violation of man, but thou persevered for the joy that was set before thee, the joy of bringing thy people in. We pray that to that end thou wilt save here those who are not saved, who are not in the spiritual realm of living with thee. We pray that thou wilt save and thou wilt strengthen thy people here, especially those who suffered in the last months, maybe days, years, because of persons around them not recognizing their responsibilities. Oh Lord, help us to take our responsibility in the light of eternity. Help us to sow in thy Spirit and not in our flesh. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, have mercy to us. We pray that thou wouldst be the after preacher of thy word, that when we would come home, that we will not speak about other things till we see our own ship, and till we see that thou alone canst guide us. We thank thee for thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.